Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Murat. This is our 12th study in the book of Job. And we come today to Job chapter 21, verse 22. And Lord, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we're about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. Job 21, 22. Job is talking about the wicked in response to his three friends' accusations that he is suffering because he is wicked. Verse 22 says, "Can anyone teach God knowledge, since he judges those on high? No one should sit in judgment on God and presume to know how he should run the world." He is dealing with things that are way too complicated for us to understand. 23. "One dies in his full strength, being wholly at ease and secure. Some people die in the prime of life. It seems like all is well, but then suddenly it's over." 24. "His pails are full of milk, and the marrow of his bones is moist." In other words, some people die even though they are strong and healthy and well off. No one is guaranteed another day. 25. "Another man dies in the bitterness of his soul, never having eaten with pleasure. And some people die having never enjoyed life." It was all kind of a unpleasant thing for them. They never really were very happy at all. 26. "They lie down alike in the dust, and worms cover them." Either way, no matter what your life has been, in the end, you're covered with dirt and you're covered with worms. Verse 27. "Look, I know your thoughts and the schemes with which you would wrong me." Job knows that when his three friends talk about the end of the wicked, as they have done, that they are aiming those remarks at him. They're talking about him. 28. "For you say, where is the house of the prince, and where is the tent, the dwelling place of the wicked?" The implied answer is, they are gone. No one stays here forever, neither the good or the bad. 29. "Have you not asked those who travel the road? And do you not know their signs? Merchants who travel a lot talk about what they have seen and heard." And Job says, they say the wicked have it pretty good sometimes. 30. "For the wicked are reserved for the day of doom. They shall be brought out on the day of wrath." A lot of times this is true. The wicked sin and seem to get away with it completely. 31. "Who condemns his way to his face, and who repays him for what he has done?" He says, Job implies that no one repays the wicked person for what he has done. And of course, Job is wrong about that one. Because even if a wicked person isn't punished in this life, God will punish him in eternity. 32. "Yet he shall be brought to the grave, and a vigil kept over the tomb." Job says they are given fancy funerals. And I suppose many times that's true. 33. "The clods of the valley shall be sweet to him. Everyone shall follow him, as countless have gone before him." The sense is this: a wicked person participates in his own funeral and he enjoys it. Job is trying to say that nothing seems to go wrong for the wicked person. 34. "How then can you comfort me with empty words, since falsehood remains in your answers?" Job tells his friends that their view of reality is warped and it's dangerous. And it sure wasn't helping Job. That's for sure. Chapter 22. "Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said. And so the third and final round of speeches begins with Eliphaz. Verse 2, can a man be profitable to God? Though he who is wise may be profitable to himself. A wise person is useful to himself, but he doesn't contribute to God in any way. In other words, he isn't helpful to God. I mean, God doesn't need anything at all. He's totally self-sufficient. 3. Is it any pleasure to the Almighty that you are righteous? Or is it gain to Him that you make your ways blameless? It's not that God doesn't desire us to be righteous. It's that He doesn't profit from it. 4. It is because of your fear of Him that He corrects you and enters into judgment with you. Is it because of your fear of Him that He corrects you and enters into judgment with you? Translation: Job, God isn't punishing you because you're so holy. You're getting it because you are so unrighteous. And of course, Eliphaz doesn't have a clue as to why Job is suffering. 5. Is not your wickedness great, and your iniquity without an end? You are suffering because there's no end to your sin, Job. And what a rotten thing to say to someone when you do not know that it is true. 6. For you have taken pledges from your brother for no reason, and stripped the naked of their clothing. Job, if you took things from the poor, you know, like you did, you should be expecting trouble. You took things from the poor, things that they really needed, and you had no good reason to do it. There was no need to be so cruel, Job. You know, I'd like to know where Eliphaz is getting these specific accusations that have no basis in truth. Where's he getting them from? 7. You have not given the weary water to drink, and you have withheld bread from the hungry. Job, you watched people die of thirst, and you didn't share your water. 8. But the mighty man possessed the land, and the honorable man dwelt in it. You were a powerful man, Job. You were very well off. 9. You have sent widows away empty, and the strength of the fatherless was crushed. The strength of the fatherless refers to their God-given rights as human beings to be cared for. Job, you've crushed those rights. 10. Therefore, snares are all around you, and sudden fear troubles you. The tables have turned, Job. You caused suffering, so now you are suffering. 11. Or darkness, so that you cannot see, and an abundance of water covers you. You're so bad, Job, that you are not only suffering, but you're in darkness. You can't even tell why you are suffering. 12. Is not God in the height of heaven? And see the highest stars, how lofty they are? God is in charge, Job. He's the one who's running the universe. All you have to do is look at the stars to know that that's true. 13. And you say, what does God know? Can He judge through the deep darkness? Anyone who thinks that God doesn't see what they are doing because there's too much darkness and too much distance between them and God, between heaven and earth, anybody who says that does not understand God. 14. Thick clouds cover Him so that He cannot see, and He walks above the circle of heaven. God is way up in heaven. Plus, He's surrounded by fog, so He doesn't see what I'm doing. Anyone who believes that must have gotten their theology from Disney movies. 15. Will you keep to the old way which wicked men have trod? The old way here refers to rebellion against God. 16. Who were cut down before their time, whose foundations were swept away by a flood. He's saying those who rebelled in the past had the earth that they stood on washed away in the great flood. And that's true in Noah's day. 17, they said to God, "Depart from us. What can the Almighty do to them?" The wicked people in Noah's day, and I suppose throughout the ages, pretty much tell God to get lost. Arrogant. Thinking that God wouldn't or couldn't do anything to get them. Verse 18. "Yet he filled their houses with good things, but the counsel of the wicked is far from me." He says, "I just do not understand the thinking of evil people like that. God gives them everything they have, and yet they treat him so rotten." 19. "The righteous see it and are glad, and the innocent laugh at them." Good people are relieved to see the punishment of the wicked. 20. "Surely our adversaries are cut down, and the fire consumes their remnant." They say, righteous people say, "Boy, at last our enemies and the enemies of God are finished," and there's a relief there. And it will be nice to be on a new earth that is without sin and without sinners. 21. "Now acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you." Give in to God, Job. Straighten out your walk with him, and everything's going to be okay. 22. "Receive, please, instruction from his mouth, and lay up his words in your heart." Let God tell you what to do. 23. "If you return to the Almighty, you will be built up. You will remove iniquity far from your tents." God will rebuild your life if you repent, Job. 24. "Then you will lay your gold in the dust, and the gold of Ophir among the stones of the brooks." Job, you will once again have wealth if you return to God. 25. "Yes, the Almighty will be your gold and your precious silver." God will be your provider and helper if you repent. 26. "For then you will have your delight in the Almighty, and lift up your face to God." You'll enjoy life with God if you repent. 27. "You will make your prayer to him. He will hear you, and you will pay your vows." You'll pray, and God will listen if you get right, with him. 28. "You will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you. So light will shine on your ways." You'll choose what you want to do, and it will happen. And there is some truth to that, because the Bible says, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give us the desires of our heart. 29. "When they cast you down, and you say, exaltation will come, then he will save the humble person." In other words, you'll encourage the down and out, Job. You get right with God, you'll encourage the down and out, you'll pray for them, and God will help them. 30. "He will even deliver one who is not innocent." Yes, he will be delivered by the purity of your hands. Job, your prayers are going to be so powerful if you start walking with the Lord. Your prayer will be so powerful that you'll pray for the guilty and they will be spared. And there's some truth to that too, because although God will never violate someone's free will and make them submit to him, the Bible still says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. Very important to pray for people who are not walking with the Lord. If you are a righteous person, pray for those people, because your prayers can do an awful lot. It can make a big difference. We'll pick up our study in Job chapter 23, verse 1, next time. Until then, so long, everyone.